You're listening to the Asheville FM News Hour on Asheville FM, WSFM LP.
This is News Team correspondent Andrew Rainey.
And as Election Day is fast approaching and early voting beginning this week, I'm here with the director of Buncombe County Election Services, Corrine Duncan, to talk some about the local elections. Thanks so much for joining me, Corrine.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
So there are quite a few candidates on the ballot this year, and while it's virtually impossible to ignore the presidential candidates, I wonder if you could talk about some of the other positions that voters will be deciding on this fall.
I can definitely tell you all the races. I can list them. It's a lot, though. What you will find on your ballot this year is, of course, the president, U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, District 11 is Buncombe County, the North Carolina governor, North Carolina lieutenant governor, North Carolina attorney general, North Carolina auditor, the commissioners of agriculture, commissioner of insurance, commissioner of labor, secretary of state, superintendent of public instruction, the North Carolina treasurer, North Carolina Supreme Court justice seat 1 and 2, North Carolina Supreme Justice seat 4, North Carolina Court of Appeals, seat 4, Court of Appeals, seat 5, Court of Appeals, seat 6, 7, 13, North Carolina Senate District 48 and 49 are in Buncombe County, so you have to tell which one's yours using your sample ballot. North Carolina House of Representatives, District 114, 115, and 116 are Buncombe County. There's also the North Carolina District Court Judge, seat 6. That's for District 28 and seat 7. We also have the Buncombe County Board of Commissioners, all districts, the Register of Deeds for Buncombe County. So these are the local races that a lot of people in Asheville will probably be interested in. Again, that is the Buncombe County Board of Commissioners. That's the chairman and all of the districts. Buncombe County Register of Deeds, Buncombe County Soil and Water Conservation District. It's also the school boards. That's the at-large seat and all of and three of the districts. Those are on rotating schedule, so it's three each election and then the other three the next election. There's also City of Asheville Council and the Town of Biltmore for mayor and commissioners, Town of Black Mountain Aldermen, Town of Montreat Mayor, and the Town of Montreat Commissioners.
Wow, so if listeners have any political opinion, then this is a good election to participate in.
That's right. There's a lot on the ballot.
If listeners are interested, we will have a link to the ballot that you've mentioned on our website, www.ashevillefm.org. And actually, Tuesday night of this week, we've had a forum with the candidates for city council. And so listeners can check out candidates in their own voices for some of these local elections and make their decision from there. What can you tell us about early voting, which starts this week?
Early voting starts this Thursday, October 15th, and goes through the 31st. We're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 7:30. We're also open on Saturdays from 10 to 3 and Sunday. So on the weekends, we're open 10 to 3 on both those days. And then the last Saturday, we have a little bit more of extended hours from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. This Thursday is the first day of early voting, and we really anticipate a large turnout. There's been a lot of interest in early voting, and even though a ton of people requested absentee ballots, and I mean a ton, we got an amazing amount of requests this year. Many of those people who were requesting absentee ballots did so as a fail-safe. And now that we've been a little bit through the pandemic and we're comfortable, we know what risk we're taking when we go out, and some people are comfortable with that. And so we've had people switching to early voting. It's also going to be a really nice day. And that says to me that we'll have large turnout on Thursday, which is very exciting. It's also good to say it because you might go out to an early voting location and see a long line. We do in Buncombe County have a wait map, so you can go onto our website and look at any early voting location and see how many people are in line. That'll help you make your choice of where to go, because the one of the convenient things about early voting is that you can go to any location. There's not an assigned location for you. You can go to where it's convenient for you.
Wow, that's excellent. Also, considering COVID, for example, what a great tool to be able to see where there are less people. What parameters will be taken concerning voters and workers' safety amidst the pandemic?
The COVID-19 procedures that we will be following for all in-person voting, that's early voting and election day, are the same. We have an increased number of poll workers at all of our voting locations to help with this. We'll have a greeter that will be offering hand sanitizer and a mask if you don't have one, as well as a single-use pen. Unfortunately, we won't be having any I voted stickers this year because that's unnecessary contact, but maybe we will be able to get pens that say I voted. We'll see. Then the voter will go to the check-in station where they'll be greeted with a poll worker who is in full PPE. They'll have masks, possibly a face shield if they want that, and they'll also have the desk shield. They'll be wearing gloves and they'll be sanitizing as well. The voter will go through that process, and then they will go and vote at a voting booth that has been cleaned, and they'll be cleaned between each and every voter.
What do voters need to bring with them as they come?
So generally in voting, you don't have to bring anything with you. When you go to the polls, you will be asked to state your name and address, and we'll verify that in the system, and then you will be signing an affidavit that you are the person who you say you are and that you meet all the criteria to be eligible to vote. And that all gets checked on the back end. But during early voting, if you miss the registration deadline, which was last Friday, October 9th, you still have the opportunity to register. During early voting, we have this what's called same-day registration. And if you want to partake in that process, you register and vote at the same time, and you'll need to bring some proof of residence. Usually it's a driver's license, but it could also be something like a utility bill, anything that is official that has your name and address on it.
So early voting starts this Thursday, and it goes until the 31st?
Halloween.
And for folks arriving at these early voting locations, there'll be staff with PPE, single-use pens, procedures to have limited contacts, and even if folks haven't registered to vote yet during this time period, they'll still have the opportunity to do that. You mentioned that there will be masks provided, but would you recommend people bring their own masks?
Yes, I think that at this point, people are most comfortable with their own masks, but we have masks available for every single voter if you arrive and you forgot yours. And we'll definitely be very much encouraging everyone to wear a mask. So don't feel shy about asking for one.
So early voting ends on the 31st, on Halloween. And then it sounds like you all will be taking a couple days before Election Day, the 3rd. I wonder what you could tell us about voting locations and any other information about voting day.
First, I wish we could say that we were going to be taking a break, but that little period between early voting and election day is one of our absolute busiest times. We take all the data from early voting that ends at 3 o'clock, we audit it, and then we turn that over to election day. We have to do that all that night, so we are usually here till about midnight processing that. And then we have all of the poll workers come in the next few days, picking up all of their supplies and starting to set up their sites. So those are really big, long days for us. On election day, you are correct, that is a very big, long day. We get here at 5:30 in the morning and we leave at midnight. It's a very big operation. When I started here in 2015, I had no idea the level of dedication, detail, preciseness that goes into elections, and I will forever vote. I did before, but I will forever vote knowing the work that goes into this.
Mm. several other concerns I've heard voiced regarding voting this year in particular. Some viewers of the first presidential debate understood President Trump's comments about the Proud Boys as a call to action for poll intimidation. I wonder what you can tell us about poll watching parameters in Asheville and how that might be enforced.
This is a very good question, and I'm glad that you ask it because it's part of our responsibility to make sure that voters know what we're doing to keep them safe. You touched on the COVID-19, and we always prepare for all kinds of emergencies in elections. I like to say that elections officials are not just elections officials, but they're really emergency management specialists. We have so much that we have to do, and we have to respond to changes in laws and whatever is happening in the media, pandemics, all sorts of things. And so we have been preparing for 2020 since 2018. And one of those preparations that we do is getting together with all the different emergency management teams in Buncombe County. So that's the Asheville law enforcement, county law enforcement, emergency management, PR, IT for cybersecurity, fire departments, the health department. We get together with all of these people and put together a plan. And we've had several meetings over the last few months, and we actually did a tabletop exercise a few weeks ago where we got together and simulated some emergencies. One of them was something that actually is pretty common that you might not think about, but on election day, that's your last chance to vote. There's no postponing the election. And if bad weather comes in, if it's icy and we have power outages, we have to be able to deal with that. So that was one of them. And then we always are watching for voter intimidation. Voter intimidation is never tolerated. I do like your question about what you might expect at the polls, though, because observing, watching the polls is allowed. So there are two ways that you can do that. One is to be an appointed observer. So the parties appoint observers, and those people, those names are submitted to the parties and then given to us, and those people are actually allowed in the voting location. They go in, there's a limited number of them, and they have very specific rules. They are only allowed to observe. There's no interacting with voters. They're just there to watch and make sure the process is going as it should be. Then at polling locations, there's a 50-foot buffer zone. Within that 50 feet of the door going into a polling location, no one but those appointed observers, election officials, and people in the act of voting are allowed in. Outside that 50-foot zone, campaigners and poll watchers are allowed to be there. And in the past, we've always had voter protection groups outside the polls. So you have seen these people already as you've gone to polling locations. So when you go to a polling location and you see that there are people out there, that's normal. Don't let that worry you. If there was any indication that there was intimidation going on, law enforcement would respond.
Citizen Times journalist Joel Burgess recently published a piece noting that voters at a drop-off site for mail-in absentee ballots on September 23rd were harassed by anti-abortion protesters. I wonder if you could speak about that, and have you seen much intimidation from different groups outside thus far this year, and what has response looked like?
We haven't had any intimidation or reports of intimidation, and I hope that continues. What happened here at our office is that we're very close to Planned Parenthood, and there are anti-abortion activists. I wouldn't call them protesters, but they are activists that are a staple, really, to Asheville. If you've lived here, you've definitely seen them. And we have a large absentee ballot return operation happening here at our office, which is exciting. Lots of people turning in their ballots. And that group, which was a group of three people, saw that and migrated over to our office because we had a bigger audience than they had out there on the other side of the street. So that's what happened. And if you are familiar with this group, they do have megaphones and they yell things that aren't very pleasant. And so the people at our office unfortunately had to experience that. However, they did know the rules. They stayed off of our property. They did not block parking, but it was definitely not a fun experience to go through if you're just coming here to return your ballot. But they were following the rules, and law enforcement did speak with them to make sure that they kept following the rules.
Are there parking lots that are protected for voters?
So in-person voting, there are, at all polling locations, there are areas that are marked off that are only for voters. We also make absolute sure that the parking lot is accessible. So we've had issues in the past where well-intentioned campaigners have restricted access to, not intentionally, but it happens, where people had trouble getting in. So we made sure that we would deal with that. And so, to your point, we are making sure that access remains open at all polling locations. And we'll use whatever appropriate measure. Usually it is just going out and asking someone, hey, move your car, please.
Transportation, food, childcare are frequently obstacles for community participation. Will the Board of Elections or another organization be providing assistance in any of these areas?
The Board of Elections can't provide transportation or food or anything like that. But one fantastic thing about 2020 is that they want to help. And so all kinds of things are popping out. I've had people reach out to me that want to hand out water at polling locations, or some organization wanted to organize some kind of flu shot program. And all of these things can happen outside of the 50-foot buffer zone, but election services can't engage in those types of things. And I think that the reason is obvious, or maybe not so obvious, that we need to make sure that we aren't appearing to be partnering with one group or another. The League of Women Voters definitely organizes a lot of those sort of things, so that's a very good resource to go to if you're having transportation issues or anything like that. And the parties, both the Democrat and Republican parties in Buncombe County, are very friendly and approachable, and they'll help you out too.
Will there be interpretation or translation materials provided for monolingual voters who don't speak English?
In Buncombe County, we haven't reached the limit to have that as a requirement. However, we still do it anyway. We provide it in Spanish, but so far not any other language.
Okay, so materials in Spanish would be provided.
Yes.
So lots of misinformation about voter fraud is currently bouncing around social media accounts, particularly concerning mail-in voting. What can you tell us about mail-in voting for us here in Asheville?
The big thing about mail-in voting this year is that it has been very big, and it's been difficult for elections offices all across the county to deal with the volume. We are dealing with it, and we are actually almost caught up. I think that it was hard for voters who submitted requests and then having to wait what felt like a long time to them for us to get to filling those requests. But when we have the staff size that we do, we just had to work as hard as we could. And we did add a lot of people. We have a bigger team than we have ever had. We've also been able to utilize some volunteers for some non-technical work, too. So that has been fantastic. But the absentee voting process has many protections. It is, first of all, in North Carolina, only a person who submits a request can get a ballot. If somehow a ballot arrived here that didn't have a request, that would be a signal. We also no longer publish who has requested absentee ballots, so that can't be taken advantage of like it was in the past. When the ballot is returned, it is checked for all the various things that it needs to be checked, make sure that it matches the voter record. When you turn it in person, you are signing a log saying that that's you. And then it goes through a verification process here in our office by our staff. Then finally, it goes to a board meeting, and at the board meeting, they are checked one final time before they are accepted. Any ballot that has any issues with it, we contact the voter and we let them know. Let's say they forgot to sign their ballot. Then we contact the voter and let them know how to fix it. If, for instance, it was getting close to the deadline, close to election day, we could let voters know that they can go vote early or they can go vote on election day if they're worried that they can't get their ballot in on time. And then, of course, we have audits all throughout the election, and that includes early voting. Early voting is actually a form of absentee. Absentee is any voting that happens outside of election day. So early voting is in-person absentee, and what we've been talking about is absentee by mail. There are audits on every one of these processes, and it happens every day. And then something that people don't know a lot about is after Election Day, we have what is called canvass. It's our canvass period. And for every county, it's 10 days. So November 13th is the day that we actually finalize results in Buncombe County. And during that whole period, there's auditing at the local level as well as the state level happening to make sure that there aren't any anomalies or any issues as well. So there is a lot that goes into ballot security.
So although voting ends on the 3rd, the counting and processing continues and results are official on the 13th of November for this year?
Yes, that's correct. Now, the vast majority, by far, of the results will be up on election night. What is left to count after election day are any absentee ballots that were postmarked on election day or before that came to us afterwards. So that group of ballots, which I do think it'll be increased this year just because we have more absentee, but I don't think that it will be a large enough number to swing an election. The other results are provisional votes. So if you go to the polls and there's some issue, then there's always the opportunity to vote provisionally. And that's a really nice fail-safe too, because let's say that there was a terrible event where there was some kind of cyber breach that messed with the registration database or something like that. Well, we have provisional voting to deal with that. So if you go to the polls and there's some kind of issue, we will be able to vote everyone and then do the research later so that nobody's vote would ever be lost because of an error or malicious or not.
And you had mentioned that some folks had picked up a mail-in ballot just as a fail-safe. Let's say that someone ends up going for the in-person voting, whether it be election day or early voting. At that point, would they just throw out their mail-in? Or is there a risk if they did both, then they would get a call, I guess, from the Board of Elections?
So, good question. As soon as you vote, you are marked voted. And if you have an absentee ballot out, that one is spoiled. So if it ever showed up to our office, it would be flagged. And that actually would be reported to the State Board for Investigations as double voting. So you don't want to do that. But our system does catch it.
And that's a felony?
That is. That's a felony.
If listeners wanted to review any information or find more information about the elections, are there any resources you could recommend for where listeners can learn more?
Yes. So the election is happening. Voting's happening already. So what can you do to be ready? First, make sure that you are registered. So if you haven't registered, you need to do that at early voting. You need to check your sample ballot so that you're ready when you go to the polls and that you know what is on your ballot and you can do your research. Then you need to choose your voting method. There's absentee. There's been a lot of information put out about that. Early voting starts this week and goes through the 31st. And then there's election day. And if you choose to go on election day, which is Tuesday, November 3rd, then you need to look up your polling location so you know where to go. And you can do that by going online to the voter lookup tool and type in your information and figure out where you vote there. Now, not everybody has access to the internet, and so there are other methods for you to get this information too. You can call our office at 828-250-4200, and you can always stop by our office. We are semi-closed, so you can come into our lobby, and we have a lot of information there. And then if you have more questions, someone will actually come out and assist you.
I've been speaking with the director of Buncombe County Election Services, Corrine Duncan, about the upcoming elections. Corrine, thanks so much for spending this time with me today and sharing more information about the elections to our listeners.
You are very welcome. My pleasure, and happy voting.
Of course, to find out more information about the elections or about some of the candidates, we have a candidate forum for local city council candidates, which was recorded Tuesday of this week. You can check out www.ashevillefm for more information. We'll also have listings to the Buncombe Board of Elections website.
Thanks for listening.